Hello and welcome to another edition of the Critical Care Revision Aid Podcast, Episode 7, Care of the Organ Donor.
Tell me about the physiological changes which occur after brainstem death.
After brainstem death, there is a massive sympathetic surge and several changes occur across all body systems. Cardiovascularly, the sympathetic activation leads to systemic hypertension, which occurs in order to attempt to maintain cerebral perfusion pressure in the face of a rising intracranial pressure. In the respiratory system, pulmonary edema occurs due to capillary endothelial damage and oxygenation can worsen. Neurologically, the pituitary and hypothalamus are damaged due to compression from the rising ICP and also from ischemia and or infarction because of difficulties in maintaining cerebral perfusion. Pituitary ischemia leads to the development of diabetes insipidus as release of antidiuretic hormone ceases. Ischemia of the hypothalamus causes temperature dysregulation and patients may become hypothermic. In the hematological system, the coagulation cascade can become disturbed due to both high levels of circulating catecholamines and directly because of brain tissue damage itself.
How might you manage these changes in a patient who may proceed to organ donation?
NHS Blood and Transplant have prepared a document which outlines the key physiological targets in a potential organ donor who is brainstem dead. The care of the donor bundle suggests appropriate resuscitative measures which should be taken to maintain normal physiology and protect the organs which may be suitable for donation. Cardiovascular support measures include a robust fluid status assessment and the restoration of circulating volume if the patient is fluid deplete. If they are requiring vasoactive support, which is common, vasopressin should be started and used in preference over other vasoactives. If inotropic support is required, dobutamine is the inotrope of choice. For the respiratory system, lung protective ventilation should be used. Recruitment manoeuvres should be used to help prevent basal atelectasis, and chest physiotherapy is really important. This should be initiated early. In terms of the endocrine and metabolic changes, maintenance of normothermia is important and patients may require active warming. Desmopressin can be given for cranial diabetes insipidus if the urine output remains high despite using vasopressin. Electrolytes should be checked and maintained within normal ranges, and an insulin infusion is often required for glucose control. Additionally, all potential donors are given a single dose of methylprednisolone. If blood products are required, either to help restore circulating volume or to correct coagulopathy, these should be given as required.
What are the diagnostic criteria for cranial diabetes insipidus?
The diagnostic criteria are a urine output of more than 4 mL per kilo per hour, serum sodium level of greater than 145 millimoles per litre, a serum osmolality of greater than 300 millimoles per kilo, and a urine osmolality of less than 200 millimoles per kilo. A dramatic rise in urine output should be treated as cranial diabetes insipidus without necessarily waiting for the biochemical results to be returned. Fluid replacement should be started, and desmopressin at a dose of 0.5 micrograms to 4 micrograms IV can be given if the vasopressin used for blood pressure control is not sufficient to treat the DI.
Tell me about the Maastricht criteria for DCD.
DCD can be controlled or uncontrolled. Uncontrolled DCD occurs after an unexpected cardiac arrest, while controlled DCD takes place after planned withdrawal of life-sustaining therapy. The Maastricht criteria describe the clinical circumstances around this. Categories 1 and 2 are uncontrolled DCD, where the patient is either dead on arrival to hospital or there is unsuccessful resuscitation. Class 3 is controlled DCD, where the cardiac arrest follows withdrawal of life-sustaining therapy. Category 4 is where cardiac arrest occurs in a patient who is already brain dead, and Category 5 refers to the cardiac arrest in a hospital inpatient.
Can you describe the process of organ donation following DCD?
Patients in whom the focus of care has now moved towards the end-of-life palliation should be referred to the local specialist nurse in organ donation, who can advise whether the patient could be a potential organ donor, and who should be involved in the approach discussion with the patient's family. If consent for organ donation is given, NHSBT teams coordinate the organ matching and the relevant retrieval and transplant teams which would be necessary. In donation after cardiac death, withdrawal of life-sustaining therapy should be done in a controlled manner in conjunction with the readiness of the retrieval team. Because of the need for a short window between the confirmation of death and surgery beginning, the withdrawal is often carried out in the anaesthetic room close to theatre. The withdrawal should be done according to usual local practices, with symptomatic relief being given as appropriate. The patient should be closely monitored for the onset of a systole, determined by the loss of pulsality of the arterial line. Once this has occurred, the patient should be monitored for 5 minutes to confirm loss of cardiorespiratory function. If there is any evidence of resumption of activity, the 5 minute period should begin again. After 5 minutes of confirmed asystole, a doctor who is independent of the retrieval team should confirm death and the patient should be transferred into theatre. If the lungs are being donated, the patient will need to be re-intubated. This should be done after death has been confirmed. However, no inflation breath should be given until after 10 minutes from the time of asystole has passed. This is often done under instruction from the retrieval team once they have begun the surgery.
What is functional warm ischemic time? Do you know how it varies between organs?
Functional ischemic time is the period of time where the organs are still warm but are being inadequately perfused, either due to low perfusion pressures or with low arterial oxygen concentrations. Different organs can tolerate different periods of functional warm ischemic time before damage occurs. For example, kidneys can tolerate longer periods than lungs. This means that as time passes after the withdrawal of life-sustaining therapy, but before the patient has passed away, retrieval of organs may be stood down if the functional ischemic time is felt to be too long.